up this morning before the sun. Grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with Fishin' Frank. Fishin' Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishin' Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishin' Frank's. You gotta go to Fishin' Frank's. The one who knows is Fishin' Frank.
Okay, boys and girls, that was going out by request. That was Bobby, great friend of ours, awesome person, Bobby.
Haven't seen her around.
You haven't seen her for a while.
No.
I think she's still in the area, but, man, you don't get any cooler than Bobby. No, she was awesome.
She was pretty cool.
All right, let's see, Fishing Report Day, it's Saturday. God, the 12th of January. So if you're listening, you want to get in on the seminars, we're starting the seminars on the 15th. We got three or four different times, a couple of different days. You can call Monday. Hopefully tomorrow night I should have the seminar schedule starting, but we will start taking reservations Monday for the seminars. Yes, indeed, it is actually getting started. And I didn't want to do it, but man, I got to get them going. It's already the middle of January. I thought we'd have these started a month ago. So I'm just going to bite the bullet and get it going. So anyway, getting into the fishing report, we've been at Charlotte County Boat Show all day, Carl and I, giving talks and seminars and all that. A lot of people there today.
Yeah, there was quite a few people there. It was a good turnout.
Captain Carl's there in the guest spot, Robert Nasita across from me. You know, forget about boats I want to buy or whatever. I like checking out new innovations on boats, or boats that have a little something different about them. Not that they're bad or good or better or worse, but something that has an unusual piece to it. And I was looking at a little nano boat, and the thing I do like about it is he kind of rolled the sides, put a little bit of a kind of a mini pontoon aspect of it. I mean, it's a fiberglass boat, it's not at all pontoon, but the bottom comes across, and then it comes down and rolls around. And he made it a little rounder. It's not quite as flat. Gives you a little more stability because it's small, like 4 foot wide boat. But it's really funny, by changing that aspect on the bottom, you can change how it displaces the water. And most of these things I find on the boats, I find by rubbing my hands across them. Looking at it's good, but when I can feel the contour of it, I notice little edges and stuff that I wouldn't actually see. And the East Cape, I think, is what they call it. Now, the rest of the boat's cool, but there's a lot of cool boats out there. I just love the front end on it, the bow. I always have a habit. I walk up to the boat, I put my hand down by the keel, and I slide my fingers up looking for different chines. And I follow the chine off looking to see which way it's going to direct the water. And I do that all the way up to the gunwale. Even though I can actually see the gunwale, I want to see if I can feel a little outward taper, a little downturn. And I get up into that cape, the East Cape. I don't know, I can't remember the name of it. It's kind of a cool boat, but I have no idea. But the comes up, and in the front of the boat, it actually rolls over and has a downward turned lip all the way around the front, like my boat does. You know how on my boat it's got that extra edge around the outside, and when the water hits, and it literally throws it right back down at the water. The only thing about his, it's actually, I think, a little better than what I've got, because it goes only about a third of the way back, maybe half of the way back on the boat, and then feathers into the hull. So you don't get that splash effect from having that cup on the back where it goes all the way around the boat. It literally allows you to lay down in the water. The water's going to shoot right back down. Dry design on that hull. And then it tapers out the back where it's not going to be having the problems and some of the issues I have on my boat. But I didn't even think that you could take and remove that taper half, three quarters of the way back.
That's pretty impressive. I'd like to see that.
It's really a cool front end design. I think that's going to be an unbelievably copied front end.
Yeah.
Because it takes that great aspect where when you lay down on a wave and that water wants to come shooting way up, it literally holds the boat up, keeps it from going too deep, and turns the water straight back down at the water. It's got this lip with about a 4-inch gap on it. Actually, really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you can't even see it from the outside. Literally, if I wouldn't have been playing, rubbing my fingers along that boat, I would have never noticed it. If you're standing next to the boat, you can't see it.
That's pretty
impressive. It doesn't exist. That's why I always rub my fingers on the boat, because I find stuff I can't see. It's an optical delusion. It looks like it's a smooth up hull. Then you get into the top, and there's this whole cup going around the outside.
That's pretty interesting.
So that's what I do at boat shows, because I can't afford a boat. I'm not going to buy another boat. I love my boat. I've been buying the same boat forever. I've been running that boat. I've got years worth of hours on the deck of that boat. And chances, all good purposes, I'll die driving that boat. Or while I own that same boat. I'm not planning on buying another one. But I do want to buy a houseboat, though, or something like that.
Yeah.
But when I go to the boat shows, even if I'm not necessarily looking for a boat or maybe trying to buy a boat, and one guy looked at it, thought, nice boat. Thought, well, maybe I'll see. What's your good price on it? It was $59,000. And it's good enough for an overnight boat. It's got a nice hull. I can run it out in the Gulf, come back. I figure it'd be pretty safe, twin outboards in the back. And he came back and he's talking about, we can do some trading and this and that, next thing. And the boat was $59,900. He came back with this really good deal.
$57,999. Hey.
Awesome price, man. You took off almost $1,000. That was great.
Right.
Out of a $60,000 boat. And he's going out about, we can do this, we can do that. I'm like, but I don't want to negotiate with you. I don't want to say, okay, you got 60 and I'll give you a 40 and blah, 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 blah. Just give me the good price. And I'm going to say yes or no. Well, $1,000 off $60,000 to me is not...
not anything worthwhile.
I don't know if that's $60,000. 10% would be what, $6,000?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like 1% off.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
not worth it.
And then buy the boat.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So I don't know. That's my fun at the boat shows, trying to find new and unusual things. All right, but that too much time on that. I'm sorry, guys. All right, Peace River, what's going on?
A lot of snook up there, especially from the Navigator up all the way to Cheese above Arcadia. That's been the real talk for a lot of people. And then the over towards Shell Creek, they've been getting a lot of smaller snook, and some tarpon have been rolling around, nobody catching them, but they're seeing them.
Now, where is that at?
Over by Shell Creek.
That deep hole by the Manatee, son.
Yeah.
And then they've also been getting a few mangrove snapper and an occasional small redfish over there, too. So a little bit of a mixed variety. It's not gangbusters, but it's pretty decent.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
There's also been, some jacks running around up there in the middle part, up there by, like, Harbor Heights. There's been some big jacks running. But mainly just snook and, those juvenile tarpon are hanging out.
How big are the jacks?
5-10 pounds.
It's not bad at all.
They're fun.
Nice sized jacks. Those are great.
I caught a 25 pounder up there last year.
Oh.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
I would like to tangle into one of those. That would be a blast.
Yeah, 25 pound jack on the Peace River is a nice jack. I used to fish a lot of them up there. And there are not many of them up there right now. And the ones that are really kind of shivering, hunkering down in some of those deeper holes. But the water comes up about 5 degrees. I think it's just going to explode up there.
All the jacks are doing it.
Yeah.
They're all sitting on the bottom right now.
So that's why guys saying, well, where'd all the jacks go? I said, they're still there. But you're going to have a hard time getting them to eat. They're way down deep. They're hugging the bottom. People are saying, oh, the red tide killed all fish. There's no fish out there. That's baloney. That's ridiculous. It's not true. What is going on is the water's almost 10 degrees cooler in January this year than it has been for the last couple Januaries. this cooler water has changed where the fish go. They go deep in the morning, shallow in the afternoon. Carl, you're finding fish where you never expected to find fish.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other day we were sitting there, we were actually fishing on those big jacks. The only way I could get them to eat, my client actually figured this out. He took an up north trick from wherever he fishes up north, and he was vertical jigging a shrimp on a jig head. And he started hooking one after another. And I looked at him, I was like, at first I was like, what are you doing, bud? And not 10 seconds after I said that, wham, there he went. I was like, we landed. I was like, try that again. Got another one. Then got another one. But it was odd.
It's completely different than anything we would have thought of because we're not used to fishing this cold water.
Mm-hmm. Right.
5-10 degrees is a world of difference. And if you don't think 5 or 10 degrees is a big deal, let's talk 33 to 30. That's 3 degrees difference. 30, you know, 30, 31, 32, 33. Okay, that's 4 degrees difference. 30 to 33. There's a hell of a lot of difference in the water in that point. One of them's ice and one of them's not.
One of them's completely frozen, the other one is not.
See? No. So, you know, it just makes a big difference where the fish go. I-75, what's the difference there?
All I've heard about is a few black drum there, but mostly on the smaller guys, like 15 pounders. That's about it up there, unfortunately. You got anything?
The black drum, there's been a few black drum running around there, right there at the wood bunkers. But if you get on like the Port Charlotte side where all that sawgrass is, there's still some redfish being caught in there. I mean, there's a couple of deep holes in there, like you were saying a minute ago, Frank. Those fish are sitting deep in the mornings. Well, there's a couple of deep holes in up there on that Port Charlotte side of the I-75 bridge that are holding some good fish.
What are you catching them on?
Shrimp.
Shrimp?
Yep, shrimp's the go-to bait.
Yeah, shrimp's pretty much the most consistent bait for everything right now.
Everything is eating shrimp. I mean, by far, hands down, the best bait right now to bring. Don't leave dock without any. Live or frozen.
Well, the hard part about it is people think about baits. They don't consider bait water temperature. The more below 70 it is, every degree below 70, the better shrimp work. You'll catch 6 or 10 fish on a shrimp for every one you're going to catch on a white bait right now. Now, the more the water gets over 70, the more fish you're going to catch on white bait versus shrimp up until the water hits in the mid 80s, and then kind of dead bait will catch more than either one of them. But the more you vary your bait by the water temperature conditions, the more fish you're going to catch. Just using white bait, you're going to have some really good days, you're going to have some really lousy days. Just using shrimp, really good days, really lousy days. By using a variation of several different baits, you will have more consistently good days, period. White bait is not the best bait. It's just a good bait. Shrimp is not the best bait. It is a good bait. But it has its time. It has its day. It's just like bobbers. Sometimes you really want to use bobbers and floats, and sometimes you want to use jig heads. If there's a lot more than one way to fish. Oh, yeah. Okay, 41 Bridge.
Basically, I've been hearing about some small trout around the bridge and up against the power lines. And then there has been a handful of snook throughout the evenings and through the middle of the night, along with a couple juvenile tarpon. Other than that, I've got not much else.
There has been some black drum running around on like the Punta Gorda side of the 41 Bridge.
All around the pilings?
Yep. Yeah, those are the big ones. There's quite a few big ones running around the harbor right now.
They're catching them on what?
The other day we actually were getting them on shrimp.
Really?
The go-to bait for drum, crab is the number one bait, but they were actually eating shrimp the other day.
Now there you go. That's not too bad.
I think shrimp's a little easier to digest when the fish are in this cold water. Robert, you taught me that.
Yeah.
That the fish actually cannot digest their food once the water gets below a certain temperature, so crabs with the shell and stuff could actually rot before they could be digested by the fish, causing the fish to get sick, ill, or die. And without the heat, the food in their stomach actually digests so slowly it can cause them health problems. So 5 degrees warmer, everything's going to change. All right, Lashley Pier.
Well, I've got nothing this week off of there.
A few small snook up by the base of the pier. I mean, that's about all I really heard, and a couple trout being caught with small ones.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was a little quiet for me this week down there.
Yeah.
Most everyone's going to other areas that we'll get to.
Yeah, it's been amazing. We'd like to say hi to Minnesota. We had about five people from Minnesota today at the boat show, all saying how they're listening to the show on their way down, forgiving me for my rude remarks about their fellow statesmen. they were actually giving me a bunch of grief about that. So, you know, like, it was funny as hell. So, hi, Minnesota, Ohio. Thanks for listening very much. We really appreciate it. Michigan, Illinois, all the states out there, thank you very much. But I literally had five people from Minnesota come in today giving me a hard time about my cracks about the guy from Minnesota. It was awesome. I love you guys. Absolutely. You guys are amazing. The best there is. I don't know where that guy came from. You know, I guess you gotta get one every once in a while. But anyway, for the rest of you guys, thank you so much for listening. We had a ball at the boat show talking to people today. Bayshore Pier?
Bayshore Pier has been zero.
Yep.
All
right. It's a sunken boat over there.
I don't even know if it's open at the moment again. I know they closed it for some construction.
There's a sunken boat.
Yeah. There was two of them out there.
Ooh.
There was a big sailboat sitting on its side last week.
Are you talking about the sailboat, Carl? Or
no, it's like a Captain Cruiser.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's sitting on bottom.
Yeah, that was the guy that was filling up and flooding out and just ran it to beach it. That was about
Yeah, I heard about him. He was having taken on water, and he was just freaking out. What do I do? So he just headed to shore and just
Honestly,
ran
that's one, two, three. That's five boats that I know that are stuck in Charlotte Harbor right now.
Yeah, up on the skating rink, you said there's one.
Skating rink, and then in the mouth of Alligator Creek, there's another one. The West Wall has...
Two or three.
No, there's only one left now on the West Wall. It's a bayliner in the mangroves.
Big bayliner. He's not getting out. I mean, that's like a 30-some footer, right?
Yeah, he's not getting out to summertime if he's lucky. I don't know how it made it that far.
Really?
You should see the sailboat over there by Alligator Creek. I don't know how he made it. He's almost inside the bar, but he's laying all the way over.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know how they're getting a couple of them out.
That's crazy.
Port Charlotte canals and Port Charlotte.
A lot of snook of assorted sizes, some jacks of assorted sizes. Been a few sheep's head moving around, especially up there towards the old locks up there. And then I've heard of a few black drum and some juvenile tarpon. Weird part is I'm not hearing of any mangrove snapper hardly at all.
There is. I actually went to my grandparents' dock the other night messing around at nighttime.
Yeah.
And I caught some very, very nice mangrove snapper. I wasn't fishing for them. I was sitting there fishing a snook light, but I actually caught some very nice mangrove snapper right there back there by the locks.
Really?
I do know that early in the morning, then all those Port Charlotte canals, like the Pelham Waterway one, the O'Hara one, topwater baits are working phenomenal. There's some big, big snook there being pulled out of there on topwater baits early in the morning.
Nice. You That's know, always fun when majority you get a snook of them, to topwater.
Majority of them are all in the intersections.
Okay.
You know, where sense. This canal meets this canal and that one meets this one, you mm-hmm. know, like a four-way intersection or something like that. That's where majority of them are being pulled off of. But there's That's some fun. Very nice snook being caught out of there. And he's using topwater prop baits.
Oh, really? Like a devil's horse and
yeah,
stuff
well,
like that?
Yeah, a beefed up devil horse.
Gotcha.
But that's what he's throwing. He's throwing mostly topwater prop baits.
That's pretty cool. That's always fun. I really, really like catching fish on topwaters.
Oh, yeah, and I'm trying to write intersections. Like, I want to spell that. Hang on. Spell check coming up. Okay, intersections change. Here's the ding you like.
T-I-O-N-S.
I-N-T-E-R-S-E-C-T-I-O. Yeah, well, spell check. I was like, really? Intersections, me? Okay, El Jameen Pier.
Pinch points.
There you go.
Points. Non-pinch points is where the canals meet. They open up together. I tell people, when you read this report, if you actually want to understand it, listen to the... You know, radio fishing because.
That's what I tell them.
Yeah, HTE is not a secret code.
It is. Come on, it's like that Navajo stuff that they used to use in World War II.
Yeah.
Gotta have fun with it.
All right. Elder Bean Pier.
Elder Bean, there's been a few trout, but mostly small. Some mangrove snapper. The sheep's head have been there sporadically, but not any consistency to them at all. There has been some snook at night and real early in the morning. And then there's been a few small jacks being caught off there. Other than that, it's been good.
I wouldn't say it's been hit or miss.
Yeah.
Been doing very well. The next day it's doing iffy. Then, you know, back and forth. It's not nothing can really consistent over there right now.
All right. The rest of the
fish are being caught.
Rest of the Myakka River area?
This is all you.
Up the Myakka River, there's quite a few tarpon. Like, way up the Myakka River. I was actually talking to a gentleman today.
Past Northport or before Northport?
Right around just on the harbor side of the bridge, 41 Bridge.
So Northport.
In Northport.
Yeah, way up. But he also said that there was quite a few at the deep hole there. When you come out that long canal where the boat ramp is. It's like the 20-something foot hole.
Yeah, that's all Northport, though. That's out of the Biscayne Waterway. Not the Biscayne Waterway, the Chamberlain Waterway.
He's been catching them all on jerkbaits, like soft plastic jerkbaits. He said he's also catching quite a few snook, you know, big mixed variety of size. All the redfish that are being caught more down towards, like, just on the north. It'd be the north part of El Jobin. Up there in that little marsh shallow areas. You know, I've also been getting some redfish on the docks, you know, up there in El Jobin. Myakka Cutoff considered that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Myakka Cutoff's doing very, very well. It's hard to get in there this time of year. If you have a kayak, you're great. You know, this low water and being so muddy in the Myakka Cutoff, it holds a lot of heat. You know, it's going to be a lot warmer, and for our snook, that's what they have to look for this time of year. They have to be in warmer areas. There's quite a few snook up in Myakka Cutoff right now, and big fish. There are some good size redfish in there, but most of them are on your smaller size, like just your rat reds, what we consider. But there's a lot of rat reds and redfish in there, mixed in with a few sheep's head.
Watch out for the duck hunters over there.
Mm-hmm. Because they got blinds set up all the way through.
There's at least a half a dozen of them over there.
There is.
Yeah.
So be careful.
I was telling me about that.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't paying attention, came around the corner, and they were like 10 feet away from him, scared the daylights out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, early in the morning,
they didn't shoot, but they just happened to be there, and it's like, whoa.
Me and Greg had actually been in there and heard him shooting, and we weren't very far from him one day.
I can hear him from my house when they're shooting.
I can actually think it's funny because you watch the ducks, and they've got these beautiful blind bows, and the ducks veer off, and they'll fly right over me while I'm fishing.
That's what they me and Greg were in there, and they did that.
I keep trying to tell these guys, forget about the fancy duck blind boats. Take a rod and reel, lay your shotgun down, start fishing. And just be there fishing away. The ducks will fly right over the boat, no problem. They get close, you lay down the fish pole, pick up shotgun.
Well, it's just like when you're fishing, if the bite stops, put your rod in the rod holder, eat something, and by the time you start eating your sandwich, your rod usually going.
Yeah, you got the rod in the rod holder, and all of a sudden, as soon as you get a drink or eat a sandwich or start to take a leak or something like that, it's Drivel City. All right, South Cove.
Actually quite a few juvenile tarpon being caught out of there, quite a few snook, and the bass fishing's been doing very well. The guy was talking to me today, he's actually coming in here either today or tomorrow to buy some more twitch sticks, because that's what he's been catching everything on, that storm twitch stick.
Yeah, how many people have freaked out when they tell them they don't make them anymore? But I have a deal with them, and we're going to have them. We'll have them for a few years. It's not a problem, and the only difference that it's going to be, instead of saying twitch stick on them, they're going to say fishing franks on them. But, you know, I've got friends with the company, and I'm willing to pay a little extra to get what we want. And I can even have fishing franks printed on them now, so it's going to be pretty cool.
Nice.
But those we're getting to... The first seminar is all sponsored by Rapala. A lot of deals on everything Rapala. You'll be able to come down and do all that. And by the way, Storm is a Rapala brand. They own it. So, anyway, the West Wall and the creeks thereof.
A lot of snook over there on the West Wall. A lot of juveniles and some bigger ones, especially if you're getting back in some of those back creeks. And then there's been an assortment of different size redfish up and down along the bushes. And then out on the bar itself, there's been a handful of small trout with an occasional pompano being skipped, but they're not in any real schools from what I'm hearing from anybody. And then there was a report of a couple bonnet heads, but honestly, that was last Saturday, so I haven't heard of anything since then.
You know, like the other day I was over there, and like this time of year in the low water, there's not a lot of water out in the West Wall to begin with, you know. So in this low water, what a lot of those fish do is they all dump in either into those creeks where the deeper water is, or they push way out towards the sandbar. Like Robert said, there has been some pompano over there. The other day I drove the whole West Wall on the sandbar, and I probably counted 15 of them, but the whole entire West Wall. You know, once you get up into those creeks on the low water, that's where all your fish are going to be funneled up, and they're all going to be balled up together because there's deep water in there. Been catching a lot of redfish.
If we could find one of those older, bigger jet skis, I wonder if you could put a tower on one of those. You know, just a little half tower.
That'd be neat.
Never thought of it, but Carl's looking at the little nano boat today and these other boats going, I want a scouting boat. And then that 15-foot shallow craft or whatever it is over there, the little ones you can go up in the creeks and everything with. I'm not sure I'm going to do it on that shallow craft because with those pontoons, I think it's going to veer to the outside when it turns.
Yeah.
Be too top heavy.
And to me, I like leaning into the curve. I grew up racing motorcycles, snowmobiles, you know, boats and all this stuff, but I always, you know, they all have the same lean to it. When you got a boat that leans to the outside, you feel like you're going to be thrown off. Like it's going to tip over. I don't know, it just freaks me out.
Yeah, it's a little scary. That.
Like a pontoon boat, you know, just, you know, you go around a curve with a pontoon and the outside dips down, it doesn't come up, you know. So, anyway, and I actually really like pontoon boats. I think they're pretty awesome. Except when I'm going to turn them tight. All right. Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Muddy Bay's been really good. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything on Cape Hayes, to be honest. But Muddy Bay, they got snook, redfish. Been a handful of trout in there, but all small guys.
Been a lot of sheep's head snapper in there.
They're sitting underneath those little houseboats up inside there, and they're just up along the bushes.
Back in that deep wall is where all like the sheep's head and snapper. There has been some black drum in there too, but they're sitting in that deep cut wall in the back of Muddy Bay.
Gotcha.
When you go into the right, that's where a lot of those fish are sitting. I mean, you better bring a lot of shrimp if you go back there because there's a lot of bait thieves. You know, most of those fish are on your smaller size, especially your snapper. But there is some good, you know, black drum and some good sheep's head in there. The redfish have been just scattered out through all Muddy Bay. Shrimp on a jig head or free line of shrimp has been working great for them. It's a big mixed variety of size. You know, you'll get into a little patch of the rat reds, and then next thing you know, you'll get into the slot fish. Cape Hayes, there are quite a few snooks sitting on Cape Hayes Point, but they're being very difficult. I've tried to fish on them 4 times, and I think we got like 6 of them. And there's quite a few snook there, but they're being pretty difficult right now. And I've just been throwing like paddle tails at them.
I've never been able to figure those fish out when they're sitting in that trough.
Well, if you're there when the sun's coming up, you'll have a heyday. You know, once that boat traffic starts, when all those boats are racing through there, that's when it shuts down.
What I like about it, when the boats are all racing through, anchor back so that the boat can pass between you and the shoreline, and you want them to go between you and the shore. And when you do that, as soon as the boat goes, you get a cast into the prop wash. A lot of those snook, when the boat goes by in that prop wash, if there's not another boat coming right away, if they can hear that one going and nothing else is coming, they run out there in that prop wash and get the snook and the pinfish and the shrimp and everything, all these bait fish that are get tumbled up in the prop wash, they're all discombobulated for a minute. And those snook just zip in there to feed. You got to drop your bait right in the prop wash. I mean, if you can cast within 6 feet of that prop, you're probably going to hook up. I mean, it really does work. I've done it 100 times there because I was had a guy and he was coming through and I kind of threw at him almost mad, you know, at the back of his boat. And boom, I hooked up and I'm like, whoa, what the heck is this? And why can I get mad at for somebody running through there when that's the place you're supposed to run through?
Oh, yeah.
So all I did was I learned to anchor way back out when there's a bit of boat traffic and wave them along like I really want them to come between me and the shore and prop wash the hell out of it and pitch right in that thrashed up water. Boom, boom, boom. Sometimes double, triple hookups on snook. It's crazy.
Yeah, I always do best there when right when the sun's coming up before any boat traffic.
But once the boat traffic starts, like you say, they're not going to be hitting, but they do know the prop wash stirs up the bait. So they'll get off to the side when the boat's coming through and then zip right in there and eat, and then get the heck back out. So, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Well, a lot of
shit. It was a long week last night. I feel good this morning.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of sheep's head in there.
Okay. Where?
All along the bushes, some of the oyster patches underneath the shacks. They're just peppered throughout the whole place, both bull and turtle. Been some mixed mangrove snapper in some of those deeper troughs with them. And then redfish and snook have been doing fairly well all the way in the back of Turtle Bay and all the way in the back of Bull, where those little boats and stuff are back in that little basin.
Yep.
Been hearing some reports of those snook and redfish back in there.
You know, right now, the key for the redfish out there, I've been noticing, if you're not around any type of mullet, there's no redfish. If you can find mullet in Turtle Bay or Bull Bay, there's redfish around it. The trout fishing has been good. You know, the only thing I noticed, the trout aren't in the normal spot right now.
Not at all.
They're not in that deeper grass flat areas. They're sitting shallow right now. All the trout that I'm finding are in 2 feet water or less. The best thing that I've been doing, because it's kind of hard to fish a shrimp on a float in, you know, 2 feet water or less, I've been using little paddle tails. Just fast bouncing them right above the grass. And that's how I'm actually catching a lot of good trout right now. But they're all sitting shallow.
Did you see the size of that one that Danny caught?
Mm-mm.
One of his customers last week. Just 28, 30 incher.
Nice.
I don't remember where it was at, but it was one of the biggest trout I've seen in a very long time for this area.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
It was pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it definitely looked like one of those Titusville trout.
Yeah. I've only caught a couple of them over here, and it's been a while since I've done that.
Well, somebody said they opened up commercial trout fishing for all year. Netting for trout.
It has been.
Yeah, that was about a few years ago. And I've forgotten all about that.
And with mullet being down in price, they're probably getting hammered a little harder. That would be my guess.
With the lack of mullet and can't make money off that, if the guy is a real commercial fisherman, he's going to target the trout and the jacks and the sand bream and all that a lot more. Because more money in it. You gotta, you know, if you're gonna be in business, you gotta stay alive. But that could be why we're seeing such a decline between the guys who are, a lot of people just going to fish for trout, especially since snook and redfish season are out now, and the increase in the commercial pressure. That could have a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this also could just be one of those really bad cycle years where it's on the bottom of that cycle. You know, last year was good, but it was wishy-washy. You'd have several weeks of good, and then it would kind of peter out for a couple days or a couple weeks, and then it would get great again.
But over the last 4 or 5 years, we've been seeing bigger trout late in the spring than we have in the season.
Yeah,
we have.
Yeah. I mean, and that's been going on for the last several years, and I don't know why that is. Typically, mid-October, November, December, January, the best months for trout. And in the last few years, we've seen way better trout fishing come about May.
April and May, yeah. for sure.
No idea why. All right, KPs, Danger Reef.
They're running from the tarpon.
Could be.
The only thing I've heard about is there has been some sheep's head on the Cape Hayes Reef. Other than that, I've got no good reports on either one of them.
A couple of days ago, there was a bunch of ladyfish. The birds gave them away. But that's about all I've been seeing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Ron's been fishing out there a little bit and not catching much.
Mm-hmm. Been pretty slow there.
All right, Gasparilla Sound.
Incredible.
Pretty much.
From devilfish all
actually,
the way
up. From what I'm hearing, it's slowing down.
No,
are you hearing it slowing down?
Not one bit. That's where I'm doing all my fishing is out there.
Maybe a spot here or a spot there that they've been used to fishing, but I mean, overall, consistently, that's been where I've been getting so many reports all week is all through there.
Yep.
Backside of Boca Grande, devilfish all the way up to the trestles. I mean, on the flats, on the bushes, in the creeks. Oyster bars, the clam fields.
Now we're talking
snook, redfish, trout,
black drum,
some mangrove snapper, lots of sheep's head scattered throughout there. I mean, and a lot of numbers like that.
There's a bunch of jacks on your smaller size running around all over the place out there,
like
too.
Little 2-pounders.
Yep. Yeah. And there's ladyfish on almost every single flat there is.
Well, bluefish. I had two different guys tell me about bluefish, but it was just two guys and they caught two bluefish and that was it.
I haven't seen any.
Okay.
It
was just random because it was just two different guys and they both said they caught two bluefish. So I wasn't sure if they were buddies that came in at separate times. You know, so it was just a little odd.
You know, we've actually been catching quite a few nice gag grouper. You know, they're out of season right now.
Of course, that's when you always catch them.
Where are you getting them?
On the docks, all on the backside of Boca Grande. You know, just sitting there fishing for sheep's head, you know, and other fish, you know, and next thing you know, you hook into something and it starts pulling really hard. But yeah, I mean, there has been some nice gag grouper on the docks out there right now.
It's not a bad thing at all. They're fun.
I know somebody today that got a 26 incher.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. I've caught a couple of nice gags down in that area.
Well, Daryl does too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Except for I'm not wading out to my chest.
No. Not doing that.
Nope. No chance. Especially in the dark.
Yeah. Especially out there, too.
No.
Why? What would be waiting out there in the dark? This time of year? Now in the...
No, he does it in like May, June, July.
Well, the only thing I will say is if there was a big shark or something came up to me while I was in the water, there is no possible way I'd ever get bit. There would be such a brown cloud coming around everywhere as I'm going. He would never find me in the brown cloud.
Yeah, but he does that as a drive-by just to clean you out, so it's an easier, cleaner bite when he comes back the second time around.
Like you're baiting a shrimp.
Yep. Kind of like catching a hog and feeding donuts for a couple days. Help clean its system out. It'd just swim by and scare them real good and then come back and take the shot.
Okay. All right. Only you, Robert. Give me it. All right. Placida Pier and or Trestle or New Coral Creek. Anywhere?
Sheephead.
Yeah, Sheephead.
Sheephead, and lots of little snapper.
Yeah. And it depends on where you're at, though. On the trestle, though, for the snapper, it's like one guy's telling me he's not catching hardly any little snapper, and then the guy 10 feet away is saying he's catching all the little snapper he wants.
Yeah, I know the sheep's head bite's been pretty phenomenal out
under
there.
Under the drawbridge, under the two hump bridges going to the island, the old trestle, even Coral Creek, that little pier right there, has got sheep's head on it.
You know what still staggers me? Novak is 2.8 miles out of Gasparilla Pass.
Way out there.
So let's say your boat does 20 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, even if you've got a little aluminum boat with a 25 or a 30 on it, you're probably going to be able to do 20 miles an hour.
Oh, easily.
So if you can go 20 miles in an hour, in a half hour you go 10 miles, in a quarter of an hour you'd go 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So to get out 2 miles, it's literally 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, people come from lakes all over the country that are 3 to 5 miles wide. That means you're a mile and a half offshore if you're in the middle of a 3 mile wide lake.
Yep.
You're a mile and a half offshore.
Yeah.
So this is 2.8 miles.
Yeah.
And if you're 2.8 miles away from where you are off on a lake, you know, what's the difference? And the guy said, well, if the wind blows? I said, well, it blows out of the east, you're golden, because the land blocks the wind. So 2.8 miles out, even in a 10 or 15 mile an hour wind, you probably ain't going to have much waves. Now, if the wind's blowing 10 miles an hour out of the west, don't go.
Hey, I seen a guy in a 14-foot John boat the other day riding out there.
Yeah.
I see he was driving straight out Little Gasparilla Pass and going offshore.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a calm day.
All by himself.
I've seen him out
there. Shoah Harbor's what, 8-9 miles wide?
Yeah,
at its widest point, yeah.
So if you're in the middle of the harbor, you're literally 4 or 5 miles offshore.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Mm-hmm. You're actually closer than if you were at Novak or Tremblay to beach. And you can see land.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And we have all the numbers for it. But it's such a different fishing from the Placida Trestle and all that where this guy's used to fishing. I said, just go out once. The first time's going to be scary. I get that. But once you're out there and you do it once, you're going to be, why wasn't they coming here all the time?
You should be nervous and respect that for your first go around until you learn it. I mean, that's anywhere. Running the harbor makes you nervous, and you should respect that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not familiar with something. You should be a little nervous about it. Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Not you. I know you're the cool cat.
I don't think anybody running in a new area is, if you're really comfortable running in a new area, you're an idiot.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
If your butt doesn't pucker up the first time you're on new water, you're kind of stupid.
Yep.
Because you better be ready, because when I was learning Pine Island Sound, all of a sudden I looked ahead, and I could see this tinkle, tinkle, splash, 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 a little watery coming up. Oh, crap, that's an inch deep, and it's an oyster bed. I launched that boat all the way up in the air. I said, okay, I can stop and end up teeter-tottering on the bar, or I can just try and jump the thing.
Duke's a hazard.
Trim the motor, slam the throttle, Duke's a hazard right across that sucker. I ended up with some scratch marks on the bottom of the boat, but I made it.
Well, you weren't stuck high and dry.
No, but I mean, it was really dumb, but it was that two-minute choice. If I slowed down, I was still going to slide up on that thing. I didn't see it fast enough. And
you should see what I look like when I go to all these new areas.
No, I can imagine.
Couldn't drive a stick pin up there with a sledgehammer sometimes.
Nope. Especially Jacksonville. Oh, my gosh.
That'll make you pucker up. I made Robert pucker up because we were in a sign barge. We were replacing signs up there. And basically, it was a pontoon boat. I'd cut the middle out of so I could wrap the boat around the signs and change the things up and down. And in 10 feet of water or less, that thing rode fine. But in 40 feet of water, that thing wallows and sinks. The water's so soft. We're across that channel going, all of a sudden we hit that 40 feet of water to channel. It's just
like just a jello.
Oh, yeah.
I freaked out. And then the next, that was 2 days we were up there, right?
Yeah, 2 or 3 days.
Because the next day was that front that came through. So not only did we go across it, but it was blowing and cold, and it was like
windy and wavy. And then all of a sudden, that boat's just wallowing down in there. He's all puckered up. I'm just like,
first day was nerve wracking. Second day was like,
oh. And he knew it was coming. So, you know, I said, we'll get there. We'll live. He's looking at me like, I don't think we're going to live.
I trust you with my life, but it still doesn't stop me from puckering big time. There's no question about that.
And that, and the current's so strong, you here, but you end up down there. So I'm literally driving up. She said, where are you going? I said, over there. He's like, well, we're pointed that way. I said, don't worry, we're going to end up over there. Because when you're doing a 10-mile-an-hour cross current, you've got to angle up into it. If you're going half a mile across, you're going to end up a half a mile down. You point that boat up a half a mile north of where you want to go. So anyway, Lemon Bay's, what's going on up there?
Lemon Bay's been doing pretty good on the redfish. The only problem is they're sitting in all those creeks that are going like up past like 776?
Yeah.
Yeah, all those creeks like Oyster Creek and Buck Creek and all them, there's quite a few redfish sitting on the other side of 776 in that waterways.
Pretty skinny getting up there?
Yeah, pretty skinny and lots of oyster beds.
Yeah, a lot of oyster beds. Some of those are navigational canals, but...
You want to make sure you stay in the channel.
It's almost like going into Pirate Harbor. You got so many oyster patches on both sides, it gets a little sketchy.
Yeah, shrimp by far has been the number one bait, you know, that everybody's catching all those fish on up there. Other than that, over there
by... Flame line or jig head?
On a jig head. Other than that, you know, the sheep's head bite's been pretty good. Especially over there in all those docks and canals over there by, like, off of Ski Alley. They've been doing very, very well, you know, with some redfish mixed in with them and some smaller black drum.
Been hearing of any of those flounder up in there?
I haven't seen any there.
I've had a couple guys tell me they caught small ones, not legal, you know, 10, 11 inches. You know, so I didn't know if there was any bigger ones being caught.
I've been seeing some, but not over in that area.
Yeah, basically you covered everything that I've kind of heard.
Trout fishing is not very good up there.
No.
I checked a few areas, and I've also talked to a couple people, and it's been pretty bad up there for the trout.
And big shout out to the Englewood Fishing Club. Tons of people from the Englewood Fishing Club at the boat show over the last few days. Everybody's stopping in, saying hi, giving me a hard time. They complimented you on your talk you gave out there, Carl. They said you were great.
And several.
Awesome folks with the Englewood Fishing Club. We got a lot of good fishing clubs, but I just happened to think about them because there were so many people
Englewood Fishing Club.
And Anger Pier, Tom Adams Bridge.
Sheep's Head. Definitely more Sheep's Head. Yep. Both at the pier itself and over at the Tom Adams Bridge itself. Any of the pilings, take your pick. There has been a couple of small pompano that were caught out there at the Tom Adams Bridge while the guys were Sheep's Head fishing. They said they were small, and the picture he showed me, it honestly looked like a small permit to me.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. It was 11, 13 inches, something like that. Yeah. But it looked definitely more pompano or permit-ish.
I've been hearing a lot of people having a hard time getting past all those really small snapper to be able to get to, like, the Sheep's Head and everything like that. But, I mean, that's the only thing I've been hearing.
I haven't heard of any night fishing out there at all this week.
No.
I don't know if it was a little too breezy, too chilly, what?
Probably too chilly.
A couple guys around here fishing at night, but out there I didn't get anything.
All right, Venice Jetties.
Sheep's Head. Lots of Sheep's Head. And fighting guys off the jetties to try to get to that one flat rock. Definitely a lot of guys know about it because I guess it's really pretty packed out there with people. Haven't heard of anything else except for a few oddball snapper, but it's mainly just Sheep's Head they're talking about there.
Yeah, the snook bite has been pretty quiet there. I mean, a few being caught, but nothing worthwhile. And with a couple of redfish, but it's mainly the Sheep's Head.
Okay.
One guy did real good on fish bites over there, too. He took fish bites with him along with some crabs, and he experimented, and he actually caught several sheep's head on the fish bites. He wanted to tell you things.
They work.
It's really funny. People don't think of fish bites as an actual bait, but it's a fake bait that works.
Yeah.
And we've got to get another order of lures in. We're sold out entirely on the fish bites.
Pretty rough.
And again, stupid freaking name, Fish Fight Club. Why isn't it Bite Club? It's Fish Bites, not Fish Fight.
Yeah.
Stupid name. All right.
Well, you should have a chat with Eric about that.
Yeah, but no, it's not my company. What am I going to say?
Exactly what you just said.
Yeah, well. Who listens to me? You know, what do I know? All right, Gulf of Mexico.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You can get out there in between some of the wind, the 3 to 15 mile mark. Mangrove snapper, lots of porgies, lots of grunts, lane snapper.
Big ones.
Yeah, real good. You know, 2 to 3 pound lane snapper. There's been a lot of sheep's head also on all of those near shore reefs. Been a couple sightings of cobia as you get out there 15 to 25 miles, barracuda, a couple amberjack, red grouper, 25 to 35 miles, depending on who you talk to. And then there has been a few oddball kings out there in that 35 to 40 mile mark. Other than that, that's about it that I got.
There's been some cobia running around out there. My dad was out there last week, and he caught 5 or 6 cobia out there. I mean, he wasn't fishing for them. He was dropping down frozen Spanish sardines for grouper and
catching the cobia and left. That's always a pleasant surprise.
Oh, yeah. My dad said he didn't mind that at all.
And then the really strange part is, as far as I know, in Charlotte County, there isn't squat for crab traps out there until you get north of the Stump Pass.
There's some out there about 5 to 6 mile range.
Yeah.
There's also a couple sets up close to the beach, but they're only like 20, 30 traps in that one.
Right, but very few. I mean, usually it's a minefield out there this time of year.
There's quite a few out there in that 5 to 6 mile range.
Really?
Yep. Come straight out of Little Gasparilla.
Okay. So then something's changed in the last several days. Everything I heard about wasn't hardly any out there.
That's because people are used to being right off the beach where the crabs are. We had the black tide this year. People all talked about the red tide, but that's news media stupid talking heads garbage. Nobody cares what the people on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, and most of Fox, who cares? Because they're all wrong. The big killer, the big story this year was the black tide. The black diatom algae, that went from the surface right down to almost 20 feet down or sometimes more. And that literally, red tide does not kill shrimp, it does not kill crabs, it doesn't kill any of that stuff, but the black tide did.
Yep. And the water hypoxic and sucks all the oxygen out of it for long periods of time.
That was the problem. That's what moved the crab traps out several miles further. There's literally nothing for the crabs to do there, and a lot of those crabs died. They have to go out much deeper than they did last year to do the crabs. They're not finding them close like they were because of that black tide. And these are the stories you cannot hear on the mainstream media.
Right.
And pick every station, and not one of them, not one talked about the black tide. And this is the problem I have with mainstream media. They tell part of the truth, their version of the truth, what they want to talk about, but they don't tell the story that's actually going on. They had to move those traps out. Those crabs just weren't there. They were either, if they were there, they died. Right. And that was a catastrophic event. The red tide, that's fluff. They got it on their camera. They can make big news because, oh, look, dead fish. Oh, give me a break. I get so tired of what's really important and what really events that matter don't get talked about. And except if it's us. That's why we never lost a dime to red tide for 33 years. Because people would simply call us and say, hey, where can we go? All right, don't go here, but you can go here, you'll catch a lot of fish. Oh, no, that place got bad now, so you're going to have to go over here. And we would literally tell people where it was good, where it was bad. We're not leaving out any of the bad stuff. We tell everybody all the bad stuff. But we also know what's good. And the truth is always in the middle. It's never all the way to the right or all the way to the left. It's always in the middle somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did for 33 years. Never lost a dime. Kept nice, friendly, happy customers. Because it's the truth. It's not hardcore, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I get so sick of it. So anyway, that's why I don't even watch TV anymore. I watch car shows a lot now. I watch Counts Customs. I like him.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
he's kind of neat. The one I do like is Garage Rehab.
Yeah.
That to me is genius. He's getting money from them if they make it. He gets their shop, turns it into Gas Monkey if they don't make it. Win-win, he wins either way.
Yeah.
I mean, sheer genius. When the guy who Ramsey goes in, you know, the TV show spends all this money, fixes it up. Win or lose, he got nothing to do with it. Oh, Rollins, he's like, okay, Gas Monkey gets paid. You win, he gets paid. You lose, he gets paid.
Yep.
This guy, wow. My wife hates him. You know, he's a hero. I'm like, damn, why couldn't I think of something like that?
Right.
You can't lose. Win or lose or draw. Yeah. He's making money.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Oh, my hero. I'm not that crazy about it, but I mean, what a brain.
Yeah.
Okay. No doubt. So anyway, let's go to Bunker Impasse.
A lot of guys fishing from the beach out there, catching some sheep's head, occasional whiting, an occasional bonnet head. There has been some small jacks coming through there sporadically. And then there's been some of the guys that are fishing for their monster fish, catching the Jewfish, Goliath grouper fishing from the beach with the occasional sandbar. So it's been pretty decent out there, but the sandbars have been very hit or miss. It's feast or famine on those. But yeah, at least it's fairly consistent with the smaller fish.
And sheep's head bite's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... it's doing pretty good there right now, but the only downfall is you got to get there early or you're not getting a spot.
Yeah.
And, okay, Captiva.
Captiva's about the same, honestly. A lot of sheep's head I'm hearing a guy's catching.
More smaller size.
Yeah, smaller sheep's head.
Yeah, I was down there the other day.
Yeah, and that's about it. A lot of little baby gag grouper in there, too.
Got a couple grunts.
Did you?
Yep.
Which nice. Really surprised me.
That's fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was looking for the redfish, and they weren't there, but caught some small sheep's head and some grunts. I was surprised.
Yeah. I got to start cleaning this up. I just did it a little while ago. It seems like every time I do this, I add more stuff, and I have to keep cleaning this website.
No, you don't like adding more irons to the fire, do you?
Okay, walk on the beaches, Robert. Thanks.
Sorry, you opened that door.
Yeah, I know. I just every time I turn around, I'm doing something else, adding something else. I was talking to John at the boat show. He's thinking about doing one in another town, and I know it's a big town, a lot of money, and they have no good tackle shops there. And so I'm thinking, oh, man, if he goes down there, I'm going to have to restack the trailer, load all the reels, all the rods, go down there, big, huge thing, you know, run a lot of specials. I'll make a gazillion dollars. But
it'll kill you in the process.
Yeah, it's going to kill me. It's just like with the seminars and all the new stuff. We're doing very well. Thank you, guys. We love you coming into the new store. Thank you very much. I'm spending a lot of extra money, and you guys are making it so worthwhile. I mean, all the bills are paid. We have money in the bank. Everything's going great. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, I'm sure Robert would like to keep his paycheck and all the other guys here, all 17 of them. Yes, 17 people working at Fish and Frank's now. So it's a lot. We have a compound now.
Right.
But anyway, walking the beaches.
A commune.
No. I lived in the 70s. You got no idea what that actually means. No, this is a compound, not a commune. You're part of the commune. I don't want to know nothing about. That's all up to you, buddy. Have fun. Just don't tell me about it, okay? Okay.
Okay.
Point where I'm walking the beach.
Walking the beach, honestly, the only place I've heard about has been up there by Stump Pass. Stump Pass has been doing fairly well on some sheep's head, a few small whiting, a couple of small jacks, a couple of small flounder. And as you get right into the pass, that seems to be where the better fishing is at for all of those. But other than that, I haven't had too many guys walking Boca or Inglewood or any of the other places.
I had a couple people the other day that I took out. They were sitting at on the beach right off Boca Grande Beach down there by the pass, fishing the concrete pillars and a whole rock wall.
Mm-hmm.
They caught quite a few sheep's head there. Caught some small snapper. He says he caught a pompano. I think, to be honest with you, I think it was this jack. But it could have been a pompano. But
right.
He was standing off the beach there, and they caught quite a few fish right there.
Oh, there you go. I've never done phenomenal there. The only time I've done phenomenal there is late at night.
I've done okay there on the snook. That's, you know, more summertime. But
remember when the old road was there?
Yeah.
Where you could just drive right along the beach there before the road eroded. The road eroded into the Gulf, and the road fell down. But there used to be that long rock wall there. And you could pull up with the boat, cast up along that rock, and it was just snook heaven right there.
Those rocks are getting more and more exposed.
Yeah, they are.
They're out of the water.
Again?
The whole jetty at the point by the lighthouse is all out of the water now again.
Completely.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is from the pass, about a quarter, half mile north of there. Yeah. And it was just a big bend, and they had it all rocked up trying to save the road, and it didn't work. It all collapsed in.
They're all exposed again.
Yep, everyone is.
Actually, with Irma last year, it knocked two of those boulders up and over the wall and into the sand.
Hmm.
One of them is probably about 7 foot by 8 foot, and it was a flat rock, and it tilted it and laid it straight up and at an angle over the edge of the seawall.
Wow.
Nice.
It's, when you walk by it, it's 3 foot high as you walk by that one rock. It's a trip. Like, now that was some serious wave activity out there for that.
Yeah.
All right, Punarassis, Annabelle.
I've got nothing except for some sheep's head there at the Sanibel Causeway. That's the only thing I've gotten.
There's a lot of sheep's head around there by Sanibel Causeway. Over there by St. James has been doing halfway decent for trout.
Okay. A lot of sheep head, mangrove snappers, whiting, ladyfish, and redfish are being caught, as well as snook, pompano, even triple tail. Many reports of snook and redfish hitting shrimp, frozen ladyfish, thread fins, and pinfish. Spotted sea trout being caught in the grass flats on the inside of Captiva. Flounder, jack, crevel, and mangrove snappers all been caught under the bridge there at the Sanibel Causeway using shrimp or cut greenbacks. Sharks, mostly bonnets, but maybe some black tips. But a few other ones have also been caught. Everything from shrimp to cut mackerel or even squid is working on those. That's from our North Fort Myers store in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership. That's Vinny and Rick talking about that. Head down there, and it's about 4 blocks south of Pine Island Road, right on, well, this is 41, but down there, what do they call it?
Cleveland
Avenue. So, yeah. It's literally on the same road we're on. You turn right out of Fish and Frank's, go 20 minutes, and turn right into the store. And it's in the boat dealership there. Let's see. While we're down there, Estero Bay, sheephead, redfish, and snook doing well, but you need some kind of moving water down there. So, just giving an idea, Estero Bay is doing pretty good down there too. Let's see. Around the Sanibel Pier, Spanish mackerel and sheephead, and they say a lot of attacks from jacks.
Nice.
So we'll be adding more of these places to the thing so we can get to them more often. And I'm going to have to do a Fish and Franks 2 radio fishing to get all this stuff in and add it to this.
That works.
Yeah, I'll try and figure out a time on Tuesday or Wednesday when Vinny's down there to be able to call down, and we'll go through the fishing report so you guys can hear it from the guys in Fort Myers. All right.
That's a good idea.
I just thought about it. With all the stuff they're talking about, they can get a little clearer on where everything is and all that. Let's see. Coosatchie River. Nah, I don't have anything from the Fort Myers store in the Coosatchie, I don't think. Nope. All right. So, you got anything on the Coosatchie, Cole?
Nope.
Robert?
Nothing.
All right. Not even the Fort Myers guys got any. You guys ain't got anything about Cape Coral?
No.
Nope.
All right, in the freshwater canals of Cape Coral, bass are feeding in the canals really well. All the small lakes down there, cooler weather, doing white lizards, horny toads, green pumpkin worms, all doing well down there in the freshwater. We'll be adding that to the freshwater report, but that's all I've got from Cape Coral for you guys right now. Oh, West Gulf off Sanibel, it's the beaches. They're off of Sanibel. I'll get it marked for you guys. Snook, ladyfish, some small trout, and a lot of shark activity by Bowman's Beach and Turner Beach. And let's see, live shrimp is doing well, mullet, dread fins, chunks of stingray. A lot of smaller sharks down there. It might be just a couple of degrees warmer down there. Maybe that's the difference.
Might be.
Triple Tail, the Fort Myers store says are 9 miles out on the crab trap buoys there off of the Coosatchie down there. So, okay, that's a little chaotic report because I keep forgetting it's there. Okay, I can't tell Vinny I forgot about his report when I did it. Matt Lachey
slowed down a little tiny bit. The sheep's head are still doing good off the bridge itself, but all throughout that whole stretch of that bay from the power lines all the way up to Smokehouse, all that area, still getting a few trout, a few mangrove snapper, a few snook and redfish, but it's definitely gotten a little bit quieter down there this past week. Unless you got something else that's been hot and heavy. I was talking to D, our shrimper.
Indian Fields has been doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Only problem with it is, in there, most people can't get in there this time of year.
Don't say you about need an airboat to get in there, don't you?
A tunnel haul, a kayak would be phenomenal.
Right. Paddleboard.
Paddleboard, but there's a lot of redfish in there. They're not getting any pressure right now. You know, hardly anybody can get in there because it's very, very shallow water in
there. What am I going to have to do? Buy your other boat so I can get to go fishing and get down in there?
Yeah, I mean, but cut bait, cut crab, or free lining live shrimp. You know, the way I do it with the shrimp is I take the tail off.
You know that microphone that wouldn't work at all when we started? Have you noticed it's been getting louder and better and better and better the whole time? Mm-hmm. What the heck's going on? We literally couldn't get that microphone to work earlier. Now it's like all of a sudden, just a few seconds ago, I noticed it. Like, and we're all here. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, jumped up a couple octaves.
Yeah. But, you know, like, in there, when those fish are in that shallow water, you got to be silent. Sometimes a cut crab is making those fish spooky and they're running from it because just when it hits the water. But, you know, one way I've been doing it is I take a live shrimp, I pinch the tail off, and I take a J-hook. I go through the middle of the body, and like I would rig it like a weedless worm hook, and I just turn that hook around and bury it back into the top shell. And then I have a weedless shrimp, and it doesn't weigh anything. Yeah. And you're allowed to cast pretty close to those redfish when they're in there.
And you're putting out extra scent in the water, so even though it's a little bit smaller object, you mm-hmm. got all that fresh scent coming in by taking that little tip of its tail.
Now, when you go through what we're talking about doing, because this is a really cool technique, take an octopus hook or just a little J hook on the very tail of the shrimp, right where the flipper is, look, and you'll see a sharp V point there. It literally has in the very center of the fin part of the tail, just snap that off. Because if you don't break that off, you can't get the hook to go in. Start the hook, go in, come out on the bottom side of the shrimp. As you pull it through, you're going to turn it so the point of the hook is going up towards the top of the shrimp's back. Push the hook in, but don't bring it out the other side. It's literally the same as rigging a weedless worm, but you're doing it on the very tail of the shrimp. The reason you have to break off that little kind of pointy triangle piece is when you go to turn the hook, it won't go in there. It gets hung up on that little V part, so you have to snap that off. I don't tear off the whole tail because I want the rest of the tail there to hide the eye of the hook. So this hook literally comes out under the bottom, goes back up into the tail, and is hidden there inside. And the shrimp can crawl along in a forwards motion, dragging the line. He can swim forward, he can walk forward with it, and when you pop him, it makes it look like he's escaping a predator, like something wanting to eat him, because he's darting backwards. And the only time a shrimp does that is when something's trying to eat him or he's afraid of something, makes him that much better bait. Then he'll try and crawl forward again, and you can pop him again. So, anyway, that's what's going on. So, Pine Island Sound, anywhere down around there doing good?
You know, actually, down there's been doing a lot better on the trout down there. Me and my buddy were down there the other day, and we floated around, like, Wood Key and Yuseppa area, and we did pretty good throwing, you know, artificial. We were throwing DOA shrimp, and we were throwing the DOA paddle tails. We did very, very well on, you know, the trout down there, throwing, like, a whitish see-through color. That color seemed just to work the best down there the other day for us.
I've been hearing the same thing over by Captiva Rocks with the trout. You know, and there's been a little bit better trout down there. Just, I wouldn't say great numbers, but better quality fish. You know, and that's really all I've gotten down there. Yeah, is honestly those.
I mean, there has been some redfish, but they're sitting real shallow over there by like Red Roof and the Spanish House. There's not a lot of them. There's just scattered redfish.
Well, the snook are starting to do really good there. Same thing with trout, redfish, and snapper, big jacks. This has all been going on down there in south end of Pine Island Sound, I guess. That's what the Fort Myers guys are saying. So I guess Fort Myers guys are hearing some pretty good stories from up there, but I guess we'll find out. So I'm going to be calling them. We'll get them on the line, and we'll redo the... We'll kind of take care of the upper parts of the harbor, and we'll let them take care of the south part of the harbor and see how that starts to work.
There you go.
And work out. So I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to start this week trying to get that done for you guys, get you more in that south end of the harbor fishing reports. Jug Creek Shoal, Boquilla?
I've got nothing at all there.
A few random trout, but nothing really to speak of. Those docks sitting on the tip of Boquilla have been holding some sheep's head. You know where that, like, that public pier is? All those docks all out there have been holding some pretty good sheep's head.
Yeah, I had a customer in here yesterday. He drove up from down there because he's tired of fishing on the Boquilla Bridge. Boquilla Pier, I should say. So he wanted to come scout out, check out the new shop because he'd been in Fort Myers, and then him and his wife were going to go check out Placida and Boca Grande. It was kind of cool. We got to chat with them for 20 minutes, showing them some different stuff in the shop and on the map how to get to some of these places. And obviously he's looked at the website, so he had most of it dialed in.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's kind of nice nowadays because, you know, I didn't build this website to answer people's questions. I built it so that when they came into the store, they're coming down from up north or other areas, we're speaking the same language. They know what Cape Hayes is. They know what Oyster Creek is. They know where Boquilla is. They've actually been on the website. They looked at the spots. And so we're not speaking, you know, English and Greek. We literally have common phrases and tech and terms in common. It literally just there to help ask better questions, because we show you on a chart, we'll show you where the roads are to get there and do all that, but if you have an idea of it and we can, when you come in and we can just help define it, that's so much better for them and so much better for us. And that's where the website's been a big help, with allowing all of us to kind of speak the same language, because, you know, they hear us do the shows, and the show's actually becoming a lot more popular. We're probably up to 25,000-30,000 listeners. The show we do on the radio station has 13,000 internet listeners on it, and that one's doing fairly well. The other show, I don't know what we get on that one, but, you know, it's actually kind of getting pretty cool. People say I have a rather distinctive style.
You think? You
know, I know you. You're Fishing Frank. Really? I heard your voice. I know who you are. It's kind of like, you know, there's one of a lot of them. Yes, Virginia, there is a Fishing Frank. This one.
Exactly.
The world don't need to. Okay, and it is a federally registered trademark. Fishing Frank's is me. I am Fishing Frank. I own the paperwork. It is a registered trademark logo of mine. Are there a lot of people out there using the Fishing Frank name? Yes. I am not about that unless they give me a hard time or try and do something nefarious. Then I will shut them down. But I think if you're named Frank, you're probably going to be called Fishing Franks. But I just really wanted it to be mine, to be able to keep some goofball jerk from, you know. But I've literally checked up on three or four of the guys calling themselves Fishing Frank. Nice folks. Nice people. No problem. I've sent one of them a letter saying that he is allowed to use the name Fishing Frank. And, because I'm not trying to do it to hog the name, but I am doing it to keep jerks away from it, because I don't
protect
need
the name.
Protect it, not to hoard it or hog it. But if your name is Frank and you want to call yourself Fishing Frank, God bless you. Go ahead, buddy. I don't care. But it does belong to me. And if you're going to be nasty out there, I will shut you down. And I do have attorneys. You have no idea how many attorneys fish, guys. So when I say I have attorneys, trust me, I can trade charters to put your life in misery. Right?
So, yes.
Anyway, where are we at? Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Basically, the only thing I've got down there is a few redfish and some snook along the bushes and out in the trough there, out on that flat. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side for me.
It's been pretty quiet over there.
I think the boat traffic's kind of got it shut down a little bit with, you know, all the people coming out of Burnt Store area and from down in the Matlache area zipping up there.
You know, there was one bad thing about the website is all those people in that area found, oh, look, Frank's got it all mapped out.
It's all highlighted now. I know how to get there.
I can go there.
Yes.
No doubt. I actually remember getting fist fights over this.
Yes, you had quite a few people that were thoroughly upset about that.
Bring it on.
No, you didn't blink an eye. It was funny. But it was still hilarious at the same
time. Yeah, but I mean, what are you going to do? Punch me in the head? I'm going to fall down. I'm going to bite your ankles. I don't care. Like, first time right now, I can't feel my left hand. I got hurt again. It's just part of life. My good stuff, my bad stuff. Somebody always wants to say, oh, we'll do this and we'll take away all your pains. It's my pain. I like it. I earned it. I paid for everything that don't work and everything that does. East side of the harbor.
It's all you.
You know, the east side, you've been doing pretty good.
Sounds like it's going to suck.
Well, no,
Roberts, it's all you, Carl's. Well,
it's too inconsistent, so yeah, I don't have anything
one day
bad or good.
One day the small trout are doing good. I mean, with a couple good trout mixed in with them. Then the next day, there's no trout to be found. You know, the snook up inside Pyre Harbor on the docks have been doing pretty good with some small sheep's head, some small snapper. There's a lot of...
What was that, sheephead and snapper? Where?
In Pyre Harbor.
Pyre Harbor.
You know, up once you get towards, like, Alligator Creek area, there's a lot more smaller snook. You know, right there at the mouth of Alligator Creek's doing pretty good for them small snook.
Well, let me get there. All right. Hang on. Put the little header on that says Fishing Frank, Robert, and Captain Coral, and now go ahead, Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek, you know, the
mouth... Do you remember what you were saying?
Yeah, the mouth of Alligator Creek... there's a lot of smaller snook at the mouth of Alligator Creek. Once you get up inside, there's quite a few large, like, very big snook sitting up inside there. You know, another thing that I've been seeing a lot up in there is big black drum. They're cruising in singles or doubles, but they're going down every single canal in there.
Yeah, they're going all into the burnt store aisle section, along with the big snook, some mangrove snapper, a few sheep's head.
Well, the eating black drum are in there, too. I was in burnt store aisles the other day, and there's a bunch of those smaller eating-sized black drum.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
So a mixed variety of black drum.
Yeah, it's actually doing pretty good over there.
Yeah, I've been hearing about some of those big, big snook and the black drum. You know, it's been pretty decent up in there, even all the way up to the 41 bridge there.
Doing pretty good in there.
I like fishing up in there.
Yeah.
It's such a cool little area.
Have you taken your boat up there?
Yeah. Yeah. Girlfriend and I went up in there about 3 weeks ago. We saw some snook. Couldn't catch anything. It was pretty slow. But it was just a nice, like, late evening ride. Stayed in there till half hour before sunset and said, okay, time to wiggy back so we don't get caught out here.
And, you know, I did figure out with all this stuff, because I was trying to find a boat that self-bailed and all that. And I'm talking to the guy. I said, well, we could raise the floor up in this, and that'll make it self-bail and all. You lose a little gunnel, but you still do that. I'm thinking, I already got a boat that I don't like because it doesn't self-bail, but if I just raise the floor up about 4 inches, it'll self-bail like crazy. That would cost me a few $100s, and a new hull is going to be a few thousand.
At least.
So for a few $100, I can make that little boat self-bailing, throw it in the canal, and be a little like you. You just get in the boat, go, come back, tie it up, and done.
Yep.
And I don't want to lift. I got that drive-on thing I don't like. I hate doing the lifts because everything's problems. I want to just throw some bottom paint on it and let it sit and then just go run it and park it, you know?
Makes it easier.
I get a couple really cool ideas how I'm going to raise the floor up so that the water will just run out of the boat when the rain hits it. Self-bailing.
There you go.
So, Ponceleon Park.
I got a bunch of little snapper there. That's all I've heard about, to be honest.
Majority of it's all little snapper. There are some snook hanging out inside ponds. Freeline and shrimp have been doing pretty good for the snook. You know, there's also a lot of mullet running through, getting pushed through Ponceleon right now. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to troll some type of mullet pattern through there for the bigger snook. I usually do pretty good this time of year whenever I use like a mullet or a mullet pattern through there on them big ones.
Right. I just use a whole mullet and throw it out there and let it sit.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Wait for one of those big fish to come along and grab it. Yep. Or like that little alligator that's been hanging out there at night.
I seen one the other day in Turtle Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took a picture of him.
Is he a gator or a croc?
The only way I seen a crocodile for sure. Me and Jimmy seen it. We actually call that hole the crocodile hole now.
The only way you can tell the difference is if you can see the teeth, it's a crocodile. If you don't see the teeth, it's an alligator.
I couldn't, like, he was swimming. But there he is right there. He's got a big hump on his nose. See that?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a gator or not, girl.
It might not be. I couldn't see because he was, like, swimming away from me at the angle, so I couldn't see his teeth.
I'm not sure if I don't see a tooth there. I don't know, Robert, get out that magnifying glass. It's 50-50 croc gator because of that bulge on his nose.
Yeah, it's a little tricky to tell.
Yeah, I can't really tell. Say possible croc, possible gator. It's really hard to tell.
I've seen him in Turtle Bay. He wasn't shy of the boat. Not one bit.
Yeah, it's hard to tell with him at that angle.
Yeah, I'm going to say that could have been a croc, but it...
He's got a real big...
The nose comes out flat and then has a big round end on the nose right where his nose is.
Yeah.
Most of the gators are...
More flat.
Flat. Yeah, they kind of flatten down more. I'm thinking that was a croc. And if he didn't go down when the boat came up, mm-mm, it's probably a croc. Because crocodiles, they don't really care about you and your boat. You get them mad, they'll bite your boat. Where a gator, he's going to run from you. People are always afraid of gators. I'm like, that gator really is afraid of you. But a croc, they're not afraid of nothing. They're the king of their area.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one wasn't very afraid of me, I can tell you that.
All right. PGI canals?
A lot of snook. Whole lot of snook. Of assorted sizes, from small to holy mackerel big.
Yes.
You know, on the dock lights, just in the channels, at the points. I mean, they're kind of scattered throughout that whole system and doing fairly well. There has been some tarpon in there. Not a ton, but back a few juveniles. Back there by Poacher's
Cut.
Yeah?
Yeah, and that back way in the back of the rim canal.
That's where the tarpon have been?
Yeah.
There you go, that deep hole that comes in there.
Yep.
Yeah. Mangrove snapper bite's been okay, but mostly smaller guys. And then a few black drum.
There's some big jacks.
Yeah, they're still in there?
Yeah, we hooked. 2 days ago, we were in there hooking them. Same way. Shrimp jigging it off the bottom.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably why I haven't been hearing much, because most of the people aren't fishing them that way. They're just slow trolling or casting.
I seen them on the side scan, and it was either jacks or black drums, so we started throwing stuff over on the bottom, you know, and guys started hooking them. And it was those big jacks.
Nice.
Well, it's been an hour and 22 minutes. I guess we ought to get this over with. Gilchrist beer?
Nothing.
No.
Crickets. It's easy.
You know, this is the problem with doing this fishing report, and we're not like on a radio show where we have, this is how much time we have to go by. And I got to learn to shut up, stay on topic, and do all this. Alligator Creek Reef.
It's been actually pretty quiet out there, except for a few sheep's head and a couple small mangrove snapper.
A few sheep's head and there's a lot of pinfish there.
Really?
Yeah, the other day we were sitting there, we were fishing for sheep's head, and guys reeling up, every time they reeled up their bait, a bunch of pinfish followed it up.
Yeah. Any cobia out there? Because there was a few a while back.
I've been looking.
The deep holes in the harbor.
Ghost town?
Yep.
Not much at all.
Actually, yeah, I heard somebody said there was a catch of catfish out there the other day.
Thanks, girl.
That's what I told a guy today. He's like, can I go to 20-foot holes and catch fish? I said, yeah, probably catfish and stingrays.
Bait reports, I just got question marks. I don't know if there's any bait out there. If there is, I don't know why you'd want to bother.
Right.
I ain't throwing my cast net when it's this cold.
Mm-mm.
All right. Freshwater. All the way, literally, I mean, the fishing from Cape Coral up above the locks on the Coosatchee, there is bass hitting all over the place. Anything from frogs to worms, shiners is the ultimate, because some of these fish in some of these areas are on the bed, some of them are going pre-spawn, some of you are in the middle of the spawn. I mean, it's literally a mile north or south can be the difference between bass already on the beds, bass getting ready to, you know, bass spawning, and bass in the pre-spawn.
Yeah, I mean, same thing up here.
It's just literally amazing. Vinny and them were talking about green pumpkin and white. I know up here white's been a big seller.
Yeah, white's been real good lately, again. You know, and then the, June bug has kind of gotten back again with all the different stuff, whether it's the horny toad or whether it's a lizard. You know, some of the, it's just been June bug and the white. Those have been our two colors lately.
Yeah.
And then shiners, of course. You know, shiners are definitely the go-to right now. And the crappie fishing's been decent. It hasn't been a killer, but it's been pretty good. Teddy was in here yesterday. I didn't see him back in here today, but he was going to go out and give it a shot. So it's not bad. And that's Northport.
Yep.
Port Charlotte, it doesn't matter. Freshwater canals are just doing pretty darn well in general.
Yeah, that's the one thing we really got to work on is our freshwater reports. Tarpon, I'm going to guess no report.
Pretty any, much.
Any big tarpon anywhere?
Not no big ones,
no.
Okay. All right, anything to add to this chaos and creativity?
Sleeping in the mornings.
Yeah, take Go your time in the mornings.
It's cold in the mornings. Fish are sluggish.
Afternoon bite's been better, for sure.
Before 10, 11 o'clock, you're literally looking for more than 6 feet of water if you want to find any kind of fish that are going to bite. You've got to dig down there, find where those fish are laying in those deep holes where they've spent the night there, and that's where you're going to find some of those fish. But why bother? You've got to still fish them. There's really almost no way they're going to be interested in biting. So just wait till, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, go out and have a ball. But fish shallow in the afternoons. They're getting up in that shallow water, enjoying the sunshine.
Definitely. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I like this time of year for that.
Yeah,
I would prefer to fish the afternoons because a lot of people don't take that advice and they're already off the water by then. So you almost have the area to yourself.
Oh.
With the exception of the canals, because everyone's coming back at that point.
Yeah.
But if you're out there on the flats, it's pretty impressive with how much solitude you have out there at that time of day.
Oh, I like it, because everybody's charters are usually done by 1, 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And the captains are all heading back in. Everybody's going, okay, it's the end of the day, I'm going to start heading back. And I used to make
fishing.
Yeah, I used to make a ton of money fishing till dark, because there would be nobody around. We caught a lot of fish, had a great time.
Yep, absolutely.
Alright. Well, this is Fish and Frank here, and this has been another Controlled Chaos of Creativity. And
Controlled Chaos of
Chaos. Nice. That was a good one.
Well, I didn't want to say cluster blank. Let's see, Fish and Frank here in the chair. Robert, our blind tarpon, in the chair across from me. And Captain Carl Buttigieg in the guest spot. So thank you guys for helping me get this done. And I'm going to go post this. So I guess it's all over. Say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.